Hey there, this is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve many more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Steve Schallenberger, and we explore a number of interesting topics like the 12 principles of great leadership, transformational versus transactional leadership, and generating rhythm in your organization. Today's podcast upgrade is called Creating Your Vivid Vision. You can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/vividvision or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Krynas from the Leader of Learning podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, hey there, better leaders. You know that you enjoy this show because we get expert voices from outside of the education industry quite often. Bring them on the show and try to learn from them, learn about leadership and apply it to our industry. And so I'm excited and thrilled today to be speaking with Steve Schallenberger. He's the founder and chairman of Becoming Your Best Global Leadership, a company based on his breakthrough book, Becoming Your Best, The 12 Principles of Highly Successful Leaders. Becoming Your Best produces transformational leadership, which in turn builds cultures of excellence, which produce high-performance individuals and organizations that are at the top of what they do. Steve's goal is to help individuals and companies achieve their very best as they implement the 12 principles of highly successful leaders. Steve also co-hosts the popular podcast Becoming Your Best with his partner and son, Rob Schallenberger. And together, they help listeners uncover the principles of high successful leaders. Better leaders, just so you know, there is a more extensive bio that you can find about Steve on the blog. And Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Danny, it is good to be on this show. Thanks for the invitation. It's a privilege.
Hey, I love your energy, and I've already enjoyed the pre-chat. So this is going to be a phenomenal, I already know it, a phenomenal episode for the listeners. And you piqued my interest in the pre-chat, and you talked about some research that you've done concerning leadership and some of the applications it might have for educators. So why don't we start there?
Okay, well, great. Well, early on, Danny, in my career, I was able to go out and I actually was raised in Northern California, and there were eight of us in a 900 square foot house. And my parents were divorced when I was 14. And I'm going to tell you, we were flat out poor. But I got a lucky break, because when I was 16, I went to work for a fellow by the name of Dave Conger, a very successful real estate broker. And he just totally changed my course in life. You know, we're all blessed by great mentors and the kind of thing that you're doing, bringing new ideas to people. And Dave helped me in that regard. And I went on a mission in South America for a couple of years and came back and studied accounting. But I sold books during the summer back in the East Coast and the South. And that was a heck of an experience, very tough work. But when I was 26, I started my first company. I always wanted to be a businessman. I think Mr. Conger helped inspire that. And so I started a marketing company. And then the next year, bought my first company, which is a printing and a publishing company. And within a few years, we had 700 employees, and we would many of those were summer reps, college students.
Okay.
And we assigned them all over the country. And they would come to me, Danny, and say, how can I be one of your top salesmen, or how can I be a top manager? And that did it for me, because it inspired within me the desire to want to know the answer to that question. Is there a definitive answer? And so I started a research that I thought would take a few years. And it ended up taking over 40. My hair went from brown to white in the process. Sure. But here's what I was looking for. What set apart high-performing individuals and organizations from everybody else? And I found out it really came down to the leadership, and whether it was in education or industry or public service, it was these leadership principles that were the defining difference. And what we discovered is none of these, I interviewed over 150 CEOs, studied the lives of maybe 200 historical figures that have changed the world for good. And what we found is that they weren't necessarily perfect, but they all did 12 things that set them apart from everybody else. And I found these over and over. And so that's what I put in my book, Becoming Your Best, the 12 principles of highly successful leaders. And these are the kind of things, what we found is that great leaders produce great results. Mm-hmm. And so this research, and we'll talk about, I'm sure, during our interview today, I've seen over and over. And in this year, Danny, alone, within the last 12 months, I had the good fortune to attend the Harvard Business School. Mm-hmm. And this is like, you know, ancient days right now when I graduated. I'm not that old, but that was like 35 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, give yourself a break.
That's right. And we, about 12 of the classmates and I were decided to get together somewhere in the world every year. And we've done it for 35 years.
No way. Wow.
It's been really cool. And one of our classmates would host it. In the last 12 months, one of the classmates hosted us in Boston. And then this just last week, it was hosted in Birmingham, Alabama. Hmm. And in both cases, Danny, it was very interesting because I look for these principles, you know, now that I'm aware of them.
Right. You see them everywhere.
Yeah. Wherever I go in the world and I see excellence, there they are. And so the first one was Endicott College. And just about 25 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, it was a women's school and it was struggling. And then comes along a fellow by the name of Dr. Richard Wiley, and he totally transformed this school. Today, it is a 4-year university. Well, not only 4-year, it has master's degrees, it has PhDs. I mean, it is a full-fledged, world-renowned institution. Here are just a few of these 12 that educators can be aware of, because, and I know you do it, on your podcast, you do these very same things. I can feel it and see it.
I hope so.
Here's one of them, is that highly successful leaders lead with a vision, an inspiring vision. They set the tone. It's what Dr. Wiley did at Endicott, and it was transformational. He then had to organize. That's another one of them, and that is they manage with a plan. It's not just they establish this inspiring direction, but they create specific goals, annual goals that help them realize that vision, and then they execute around those goals. And one other of those, I'm not going to cover all 12, but those are definitely present. The other is that they treat people with great respect. Mm-hmm. In the book, I actually call this one of the principles is they live the golden rule in business and in life. And because of that, people want to just absolutely bust their pick to do the best they can and create an outstanding result. So this is huge. So that's one, Endicott College. It is a marvel. You can go and look at it today, but a total transformation. And you think about, and I know that much of your world is in the education world, but You spot this time and time again in outstanding educational programs. The last one I'd like to share was last week. And we had the chance to tour and be at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And this is a city that was dying 15 years ago. But it is going through a total renaissance right now.
You know, I met somebody from Birmingham recently. Well, not recently, about 3 years ago. This guy, he might as well run for Birmingham. He won't stop talking about it. But I know that it is going through that renaissance. Sorry to cut you off. Please continue.
No. Do it anytime, please. This is what I'd hope for. I mean, just go for it. But yeah, they're in full stride. And it just happens the University of Alabama is right in the middle of this. And it started with Dr. Ray Watts. And Ray became he's also a Harvard fellow, but had been around and run some other programs. But they brought him on to be in charge of their neurology program. So they have a med school there, mm-hmm. among other things. He set the vision, an inspiring vision, to be one of the very best neurology centers in the United States and world. They started with Parkinson's disease. And what's happened is he went out and recruited a top-notch person. So there's the vision, there's the plan. They then started bringing everything together. They just had nobody there. Today, that's exactly what it is, one of the best in the world. And now they're adding Alzheimer's, dementia research. There's not a center. They've just been approved to be the eighth center in the entire United States to serve this area. Dr. Watts has now become the president of the University of Alabama. He is applying this very same vision to the entire university, and now they have 20,000 employees, 20,000 students, and they are rocking it. They're helping this city be part of this whole renaissance. So This is leadership. This is, we do certain things. Another one, I don't want to jump ahead, but I know that you think about this a lot, and that is, how do we improve? How do we get better and better? Well, another one of those things that highly successful leaders do is they apply the power of knowledge.
Yes. You know, people ask me quite a bit, like, how do you remember everything you read? You know, and it's, I don't have secrets. And to tell you the truth, I don't have a fantastic memory at all. You know, just the other day, I was trying to think of this show called Arrested Development. I could remember the family's name, the Bluth family, but I wanted to tell my mom like what the episode and the title of the program was. I could not remember it. But the reason I remember what I read is because I keep teaching it. I integrate it deeply into my life. And if I talk about it here on the podcast, make videos, write books about it, blog posts, etc., I'm living it. So it's not something that I read, I put down and forget about. But I actually integrate it into my life on a day-to-day basis. And then it does, you know, stick in here. The other neat thing about Alabama that you were talking about there is the importance of going deep before spreading out, right? So they're definitely inch wide and a mile deep. They started with Parkinson's, and you talked about vision, you talked about plan. Then I heard you about bringing in the right people, the right team, and they had a very narrow focus. Now they can add to that, because they've mastered, you know, what they're doing. And it's great too, because here's another little nugget. I hope the listeners caught it. They give back. It's not just about the University of Alabama. You're talking about how they incorporate it all into the city, which is important, because if you keep all this to yourself, I mean, what's the point, right? So if you're a school, and even if you're just serving your students, are you truly a great school? What are the needs around your community in the businesses and everything there? Like, you can give so much more. And I really want to push the listeners to consider how much more value they can add in addition to a world-class education for their students.
Yeah, bravo. That is spot on. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Danny. That's really it. Because indeed, whether it's industry or education, we're partners in this together.
Right.
It actually works best when you do that.
Yeah, it's the give-to-give mentality, you know, and it's a philosophy of abundance too, you know, and you're not just keeping everything to yourself. And if you're generous in that way, you know, I think if you look a spiritual way, God blesses you. If you want to think of it as the universe, however you want to, you know, unpack that, wherever you're at, you know, listener, the thing is, I just see good things happen to people that are generous. You know, I have to ask, and I don't want to stay here because we got to talk about your expertise. But 35 years, that's an amazing ritual, right? In the deep friendships, we could do a whole episode just on that, honestly. But I'm curious, of all the places that you visited, right? And the folks that have hosted you said Boston, Birmingham, and others. Plus, you've been to South America, you said, on mission. And so I'm just curious, you know, where was the best trip? I have to know.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, Boston is wonderful. It has so much history, so wonderful. But London is amazing. Europe, we were in Spain. That was, you know, you have the castles and the history and the people, and the Romans were there. Maybe one of my favorites is Yellowstone Park.
Oh, I haven't been there. I got to get there. Yeah. Oh, wow. I got to get over there. I don't know if Tom Schwab and his team told you or not, but I just got back from Belgium. I spent a year living
in
Antwerp. So we won't stay there, but I had to ask, because I truly believe when you do that traveling, it really exposes you to the fact that there's not necessarily one way of doing something. There's not necessarily... True. And it opens your mind and it teaches you, wow, I know a lot less than I thought. I have a lot more questions than I have answers. It's a very humbling thing to do. And I highly encourage people to travel and get outside of their box.
Yeah, you know, great.
Here's another question. I don't know if you're going to anticipate it or not, but and I love the research you've done and the principles that you've found. But so 40 years of research, can you talk a bit about the approach? The reason I'm asking you about that is because as leaders of a school or a district, there's big problems, important problems to solve, interesting problems we need to solve and engage in. And so I'm just curious about people's process. So when you have such a huge, you know, question that you're trying to answer, like what separates the high performers from you're getting it. So just can you talk a bit about the process?
Yeah, well, the research itself, is that the question, and how we tried to drill down and get a better perspective? I think each one of the people surveyed or questioned that as I interviewed them or talked with them, I had like 50 or 60 questions, including, you know, what do you attribute your greatest success to? What leads to, what has caused your failures? What are the three biggest things that make a difference in being able to achieve your goals? And so we just kind of went through the picking list until we started seeing common things pop out. One of those, Danny, is that popped out frequently is the fact that almost every single one of these individuals had failures. They really had significant setbacks that were discouraging for them. You know, they put their plan out there and just got whacked across the head and they're laying on the ground. So I discovered that's another one of the things, principles of highly successful leaders, is they keep getting back up. They don't give up. So those are the kind of things that came out in the research. I discovered, particularly with the CEOs, that the average CEO or entrepreneur had four major failures in their life. Mm. But they also had seven major successes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, we're all learning about what works and what doesn't work, and that we don't just, you know, have an idea and move right to execution.
Right.
What we do is we have an idea and we ask questions about it. We observe what's going on. We go out and talk with people and we make pivots around what is working. Mm. And once that we've really nailed it, you know, then we scale it. We can do it with greater confidence. And my guess is it's the very same for education. You look around and you say, okay, here's my inspiring vision that everybody can coalesce around. And when they wake up in the morning, they say, man, I want to be part of this.
Yes, yes.
And then they go to work and some things work and some things don't. And so they make the refinements and the pivots until all of a sudden they have specialties and things they're known for, and people recognize their goodwill in the community, and their students are coming to them and saying thank you, and the professors and teachers want to be there, and it's something special. But it starts with leadership. You're so spot on.
I really appreciate that too. And just the idea of, you know, generating that momentum, excitement within your organization, and the listeners have heard me use this quote. So listeners, say it with me, right? you write the vision down so that those who read it will run. And that comes from Proverbs. And that's an important idea to really sink into your heart and your mind and your soul, because when the vision is big enough, you know, it's inspiring enough, people will follow you. Like you said, you know, they'll follow you anywhere. And the opposite is also true. And listeners, say it with me too. When there is no vision, people perish or they scatter, right? So the stakes are incredibly high. And I appreciate how you started this whole podcast. And it sounds like your work founded in the idea of vision. You have to start there. You know, I listened to a podcast, I forget who the guest was, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. I rarely use that word. It sounds funny now that I say it out loud, but he said that he looks at his calendar for an hour, right? Because you talk about vision, plan, build a team, and this kind of stuff. And I need to hear stuff like that or hear from you and listeners. Hey, have you heard what Steve has shared too? Top performers, they fail often. They learn from those mistakes, but they also, they spend plenty of time planning, asking great questions, and slowing everything down. And so what I heard on this podcast is this guy looks at his calendar for an hour. What is he thinking for? I'm not there yet, right? I do try to visualize. I do that for like 5 minutes, maybe thinking about the day, what could be the potential challenges and that kind of stuff. But he said on the podcast, he thinks about his calendar for an hour. So I'm not saying do that or not, leaders, and you definitely don't have the time, I think, within a school to buy back that hour or whatever. But the point is, slow it down, right? Ask the right questions. Don't be afraid of failure. And these things are not traditionally supported, I would say, by our superintendents and above them, the government. You know, they want results now,
totally,
especially with kids. And so it's hard to hear. It's a paradox of leadership. But you can't be afraid of failure. I'm on a soapbox, so I'll stop there. But listeners, it's okay to fail. You're going to learn so much from it.
Yeah, that's great. And I just add, that's a good soapbox to stay on, Danny.
Right.
Well, because it's transformational. And this is one of the things we talk about with the people that we work with all the time. And that is that we invite people to consider being a transformational leader, not a transactional leader. And there's a huge difference. You know, a transactional is showing up, checking off the boxes and going home at the end of the day. But that doesn't change the world. Changing the world, or transformational leader, someone that wants to leave things better than they found them, people better than they found them. They have this vision of transforming everything they can for the good. And so what you're talking about actually helps them see that and build upon it. And maybe just two things that may be helpful in that vein that's worth pointing out. One is, becoming your best has created a personal productivity assessment, actually around the 12 principles of highly successful leaders. And they can actually go in and take this assessment and see how they're doing. It's free to the world, and they can find it on becomingyourbest.com. It'll just pop up. It only takes 5 minutes. And then you get this awesome report back on how you're doing.
Yeah, then you have to live with the results and figure out what you're going to do with it. But that sounds like a great resource. And I highly encourage all the listeners to head over to Steve's website, becomingyourbest.com, and check that out. Steve, let's pause here for just a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Steve, and we're talking 12 principles of great leadership, the importance of vision, transformational versus transactional leadership. This episode has been complete gold for the listener. And before we sign off, I want to dig into a couple of things that I know you do really well too. And you were talking about team, right? Vision, plan, and then building the team. Right. So can you dig into that just a bit in terms of your approach or what you've seen great leaders do in building their teams?
Okay, absolutely. So there are things clearly that exceptional organizations do. And if you can kind of think of a pyramid, Danny, there's something, it's a great visual graphic to be able to walk through as a checklist of what we do as leaders. And it starts at the top. We call it the strategic rhythm. This is one of the responsibilities we have as leaders, is to create a rhythm within our organizations, whether that's a soccer team, a sports team, a classroom, you know, a school or a school district. It's our leader's job is to create this rhythm. You know, if you think about a routine, there's a big difference between a routine and a rhythm. Routine is just kind of going through the motions, but think of what happens in basketball, for example, when somebody, right, when a player gets in the rhythm.
Yeah, basketball metaphors are welcome here. I love it. That's my favorite sport.
You know, and people say when they get in the rhythm, man, he or she is on fire.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's right. That's what can happen to an organization. So just kind of imagine this, if you can, as I walk down through this pyramid, if it's helpful, Danny. The top, the very top, the first thing leaders do is what we talked about, is they identify the vision. That's the direction and it's the purpose. And the next level below it is having clear values, core values that determine our behavior as we implement that vision. The next one is level down. The third one is setting TIGs. And so just imagine what's happening as a leader and what this does for an organization, a TIG.
What is a TIG? I have to stop you. Yeah.
Okay, you beat me to it. Good job. Is a totally inspirational goal. I'm talking totally inspirational for the next 2 to 5 years. So, you know, you kind of start. So you have the vision as the long term. It's not the goal. A vision is not a goal. It's where we're going to end up, right? Here are our core values. Now, here are our totally inspirational goals. So, for example, one of our clients is an awesome financial group in the Philippines. Right now, there's 100 million Filipinos in the world. They serve 1 out of 15.
So the opportunity is just so amazing for them.
Yeah. And so then we said, okay, leaders of this company, which they have 7,000 employees, what are your TIGs? And so they discussed it as a group, and wham, all of a sudden when the thought came, it just kind of shocked them in their seats. And it was, by 2020, serve 1 in 3.
Wow. Instead of 1 in 15, that's quite a jump. Wow. That is inspirational. So, that's totally inspirational.
It is. That's a good example. The next level is, what are your key strategic pillars? And that's really important because our organizations need to be really focused. I sit on a hospital board, and so they're really good at an ICU pediatrics group, and they're known for it in this whole area. This has just really boosted their business. So that's an example of a strategic pillar. And so whatever it is, I know some charter schools are very good in performing arts or something else. So knowing what you're good at and then really work on it. The next level then is to set your annual goals. And you do this, again, this is an organizational focus, because now we have to get down to execution. So we know the direction, the purpose, we know our TIGs, we know what we're about. Well, what are we going to do this year? And then the next level is our quarterly goals, and we break it down, and we actually have an infrastructure where here's what we're doing this year, here's what's happening this quarterly, and we report our progress together, and now we are on track. We have 2 levels left. The next one is something called pre-week planning, and it gets to your issue on execution and your friend that thinks about things an hour in terms of time management. Well, this is a simple practice of taking some time during the week, and maybe 20 to 40 minutes, and planning out your week, but doing it through your roles. So superintendent, principal, student, and then what is the most important thing I can do by that role this week? And that includes you as a person. That includes your personal life. And this starts bringing balance in and high degree of focus. And then the last one is daily execution. So, what, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. sow a habit and you reap a character, and sow a character and you reap a destiny. So all your, look where it all starts. It starts with the thoughts. Well, this, I know that may have sounded like a lot for a 5-minute answer, but that's what leaders do that creates this excellence and alignment. And people have a way to go from the vision to execution and being thoughtful about it and being aligned. So I hope that's helpful.
I think it is. And to me too, it discusses and illustrates how you turn dreams really into reality, you know, vision into reality too. So that's great. Steve, in addition to Becoming Your Best, the 12 principles of highly successful leaders, is there a book, video, tool, or resource that's really impacted your leadership or productivity or quality of life in the last year?
Well, you're going to laugh at this, Danny. You know, like you, I love reading. So this last year, I've gone back and visited some of the books I read as in my early 20s.
Wow, okay.
And they have totally rocked my world once again.
Yeah.
The Richest Man in Babylon, just a solid book on managing finances. So cool. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
the classic. And The Greatest Salesman in the World. Those three, of course, besides anything you've written and anything I've written.
Absolutely. Funny you mentioned that. You know, we're recording it September 24th. This will be released in January. But my first book just came out. And currently it's the number one hot new release in Amazon for education administrators. And you have your book as well. So
I want to read it. What is it? What's the name of it?
Well, to keep in alignment with branding and to try to grow and reach more school leaders and serve them, it's just the Better Leaders, Better Schools Roadmap.
Okay, well, there we go. Well, I know a lot of our listeners will be listening to this too. So
nice.
I'm excited to get it. I'll order it today.
Awesome. Yeah, let me know what you think. We're wrapping up. I just have two questions and then we'll call it a day here. But what message, Steve, would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
Your best is yet to be.
I love it. It's optimistic. It's motivational, aspirational. I love it. And then this is quite a doozy, Steve. So take time, take a deep breath and really think about it. But you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you build your dream school, Steve? And what would be your top three priorities?
That's great. Well, I think I definitely would look around, Danny, at what the need is and where the world is going. It's being so disruptive today. Artificial intelligence is coming along and math skills and science skills and communication skills. Some of these key things that really makes a difference. I would look out there and see what the need is. And then I'd get the best people around me, set a vision, and go to work. And I don't know, that's probably simplistic, but you know, you look around today, that's what's happening of how people really do this. They find a need, they fulfill it as really as good as any, better than anybody can do. And then they start becoming successful and then have good backing too.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. So, you know, I appreciate the answer because again, it's process driven. Like I asked you about how you went about your research and the key there, the nugget that all the listeners really need to take away from this is that you serve as a leader. You have to look at what the needs are for the community. You know, you need to ask them too, what they think they need as well, and factor that into your decisions before you set that vision. If you just say, this is what you need without incorporating what the real needs are, that will always fail. But that's okay because that's going to teach you something. So, Well, Steve, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, thanks again for the chance to be on your show. And I want to congratulate you one more time on the enormous good and stirring up and stimulating that you're doing. And that has a big impact. I think your listeners are going to really enjoy this benchmarking on the personal performance assessment. That's an awesome tool, fun to take, graphs that you get back that you can see how you're doing. And And so going on to becomingyourbest.com, you get some really great resources. And so thanks again, Danny, for having us on today.
Absolutely, Steve. It was my pleasure. And listeners, you know, we'll link up all those books that we talked about and the personal performance self-assessment that Steve mentioned as well. Thanks again.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.